Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now the book of Deuteronomy is the history of the children of Israel in the wilderness for 1 month. 39 years and 11 months have gone by, and this is the last month just prior to them going into the promised land and as a nation. Now we read in verse number 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, "When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed." That is, as a nation, not a people, and not persons, but as a nation. God says, if you disobey me and you turn to idols, I call heaven and earth to record that your days are going to be numbered in the land. I'm going to destroy you as a nation and drive you out. And he says in verse 27, "And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. That's history now. That happened, and it's history. "And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Now there's the history of Israel, you might say, from beginning to end. It starts when they go into the land, across the Jordan River, go in to possess the land. The Jordan River being the boundary line that runs north and south of the land that God promised Israel. When they went across out of the land of Moab across that river into the promised land, they were in the land that God has given them for a possession forever and forever. Now he says, if you obey me in that land, if you disobey me in that land, if you obey, you'll be blessed. But if you disobey, it says, I call heaven to record, to witness against you this day, that you're going to utterly perish off the land. Now they went in the land, in Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy. But this gives us a general history right up until the latter days, in verse 30. When thou art in tribulation. Now they've been in tribulation many, many different times. But this is a tribulation that's associated with the latter days. Not the periods of time that's now history, but in the latter days, when God is going to bring them back and bless them and fulfill his covenants that he swore unto their fathers. So, the history of Israel is, the whole history of Israel is there. Now this covers roughly about 700 years the children of Israel were in the land. And after about 700 years in the reign of Solomon, after the death of Solomon, God divided the children of Israel into two groups because of their wickedness. One group of 10 tribes went with Jeroboam, who was a very, very wicked man and king. And the other two, Judah and Benjamin, stayed with Rehoboam, Solomon's son, in the land. And as the kings went on, they eventually were, the Assyrians carried away the 10 tribes to Assyria. They never returned as a tribe. That's why you often hear people talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. A whole system called British Israelism is built on that. And they've got it so that those 10 tribes that were part of them, America is part of them, England is Ephraim, and Dan, I think, is the tribe of Dan is Ireland, and I don't know what it is, but they've got them all analyzed and categories around the world, so actually Americans and Canadians, we're all Israelites in a sense, which, of course, is far out from the scriptures. So, and about 150 years after that, the final 2 tribes were carried away into Babylon. Now, the 2 tribes came back again, but they never came back as a nation. They came back under a Babylonian, they came back under a Persian rule, and then a Grecian rule, and then a Roman rule. So they've never been a nation. They occupied the land roughly about 700 years from their entering into the land until the last king in Judah that were carried, when they were carried away to Babylon. He said, if you disobey me, I will scatter you among the nations. And I'll leave you few in numbers in verse 27. That he did. So they were carried away, in the book of Daniel speaks about that. Isaiah writes about it. Most of the major prophets writes about that, carrying away into Babylon. And that ended the history of Israel thus far as a nation. About 2,600 years ago, probably, they were disbanded as a nation and carried away into Babylon. Now, what you've got here in verse number 30 is a time when they're going to be brought back into great tribulation. And we want to look a little bit at those latter days, and we're going to look in the book of Ezekiel. Probably a verse in the book of Jeremiah, a very good verse in the book of Jeremiah. And I think it's Jeremiah chapter 30. In Jeremiah chapter 30, and all those 30, 31, and 32 along there are very important verses in connection with the restoration of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 3. God speaks about visiting them in a time of tribulation in the latter days. And this is what Jeremiah writes about those days in verse number 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people. Now notice, Israel and Judah. Those are the two. That's the divided kingdom. Not just Judah. This is not talking about the return of 2 tribes from Babylon. It's return of the 10 tribes. And the 2 tribes returned to the land of Israel again. That never happened in history yet. Israel, the 10 tribes, have never been brought back into the land in history until 1948. And he says, I'm going to bring back again the captivity of my people, Judah and Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now that began to happen in 1948, after 2,600 years of not being a nation, about 700 years of being a nation, which takes about 3,300 years of about 6,000 years of the history of man, about 3,300 years ago when they began as a nation, went 700 years roughly as a nation, then were disbanded and carried away 2,600 years ago and never a nation again until 1948. How God has miraculously preserved those people. Many nations are no more. There's no more Assyria, Armenia. And if somebody said that there was going to be a new nation called Armenia popping up somewhere, we would wonder what they're talking about. But if somebody had said 100 years ago, 200 years ago, or 80 years ago, that Israel was going to rise up as a nation, people would have laughed at them. And yet it's true. She did rise up as a nation. Now I want to look a little bit in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. Just give you a little rough picture where they are now in prophecy. They're in the land, that's for sure. Been in the land for over 50 years. But I just want a quick look in Ezekiel chapter number 36, just for a few verses to repeat what Jeremiah says. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 23, the Lord says that I'm going to sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen by the Jews, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now the heathen here, of course, are the nations. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathens and gather you out of all countries. The all countries would not be anything to do with the Babylonian gathering, because they were only in Babylon. And Israel, the 10 tribes, were only in Assyria. I'm going to bring you into your own land. That he has done. That is now history. That happened in 1948. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. That has not happened yet. This is their new birth. He says in verse number 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and so on. And you will dwell in the land, and I will be that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That hasn't happened yet. He has brought them back in the land. Nationally, they are a nation again. Spiritually, they are not. They have never had that new heart and that new spirit. They've never had the new birth. They've never been born again. But they will be. Now in chapter 37, the prophet, God takes the prophet and gives him a vision, takes him down in the valley of Kidron, which is the same as the valley of Jehoshaphat. It's a valley that lies between the Mount of Olives and the city, the holy city of Jerusalem, that's on a hill. And down the slopes of the Mount of Olives, going toward the eastern side of the city, Mount of Olives being on the east of the city, it's very, very steep. And down into the flat and the little brook Kidron, and up the other side, up to the old city of Jerusalem. And he takes him down in that valley, and that whole valley is full of tombstones, whited sepulchres. The Arabs, many of the Arabs are buried there on one side, and the Jews are buried on the other. I'm not sure which is which, but it's full of tombstones. And he takes him down in that valley, and sets him down in the midst of that valley that's full of dry bones, dead people. As a vision. And he says in verse number 3 of this, in verse 2, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. They'd been dead for a long time. He's using this as an object lesson to teach that Israel has been away from the Lord. They're without hope. They're away out of their land, they're away from God, and they're dead spiritually to God. Verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He's not talking about people in the graves. He's using the graves and the dry bones as an illustration of Israel. He mentions that down in verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. He's talking about where they've been buried among the nations for 2,600 years. So he says, you see all those dead bones? They're just like the nation of Israel. They're scattered all over the world, and they're dead to me, and their bones are very dry, and they're far, far away from me. Prophesy to those bones. And he says, I prophesied to them. In verse number 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That happened. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. This is not a physical resurrection. It's a national resurrection of the nation. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. They were in his vision he saw these people standing up, and they had every bit the features of a human being. They had skin, they had bones, they had flesh, but they had no breath. They were dead. That's where Israel is now. This is her national resurrection. In 1948. She's back, but there's no life in her. Breath is often used in the scriptures of the Spirit. And she's never had the spiritual birth. That's where she is now. Now, let's read on. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Under the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind. Now the wind in the scriptures, you might remember in connection with the new birth in John chapter 3 and verse 9. It speaks about the new birth like the wind. Thou knowest no where it blows and where it comes from and whither it goeth. So is he that is born of the Spirit. And the wind is often a figure of speech of the Spirit of God. So what he's saying here, Ezekiel, you prophesy to the Spirit of God. Thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. But they're standing up in his image. They're standing up. They're there, human beings, but there's no breath or no life in them. Upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. That hasn't happened yet. They have a great army as far as their national resurrection is concerned. Something like over 2 million people. There are 6 million people in Israel today. And there's over 200 million of them that's ready for war. Every girl has to spend 21 months when they leave school, training for war. Every boy has to spend 36 months. When they're through, they take their rifles and their equipment home, and they're on an emergency call any time of day and night they might be called for battle. And they're ready. Over 2 million of others, one third of the people of Israel are ready for that type of a war. But they're there nationally, but they are not spiritually born again yet. He mentions that again in verse 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have performed it, says the Lord. They don't know that yet. They've never had that yet. Back in the land, yes. but they've never had that spiritual birth. They are far away from God. Nationally, they do not identify themselves with a religion. There's Jews, the Orthodox Jews, but the nation as a whole, they do not identify themselves as having any religion. They're very, very far away from God. But there's coming a time. The prophecy of Ezekiel, there came a time after 2,600 years of dry bones of Israel scattered all over the graves in the world. There came a time when he prophesied that those bones would live, and that happened in 1948. Those bones would raise up again in 1948, but they have no life in them, and they still don't have any life. Now, what about the two different kingdoms of Israel? Let's read on in verse number 16. He gives another object lesson. It's amazing how the Lord uses such simple object lessons. I can picture Ezekiel looking at those graves down in the valley of the Kidron Valley. And here he gives another one. He says, I want you to take two sticks. And one of these sticks is going to represent Judah, who consists of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And the other stick is going to represent Joseph or Ephraim, his son. And Ephraim was the leading one of the 10 tribes of Israel. You read the book of Hosea, it's all about Israel, but it's Ephraim that's addressed in that book. Now he says, I want you to take those two sticks. They're two separate kingdoms, two separate nations. I've divided them because of their sins. I want you to take those two sticks and I want you to join them together. Join them back together. And in verse 17, and join them one to another in one stick. And they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? He goes on to say that those two sticks represent those two kingdoms that's going to be joined together, and the Lord is going to be with them. He's going to bring them back together. And I believe that is taking place and has taken place in some measure. The national resurrection has taken place. The spiritual one hasn't. But the gathering together of all Israel, almost 100 countries they've come from all over the world. They've been scattered all over the world. Almost 100 different countries. And they have identified some of the people of Israel. They've identified people of the tribe of Levi. Now the tribe of Levi was among the 10 that were carried away into Assyria. It was the one stick of Ephraim. And it seems that there has been a gathering together of possibly all the tribes of Israel are represented in the land today, or at least it's being represented. They're going back there very fast. 600,000 people in 1948, little over a 500,000 people, was declared to be a nation in Israel. That 600,000 is over 6 million now. And why anybody would want to go back to Israel, that land, in the last 50-something years, is beyond me, because it's just been a dangerous situation and a bad place to be. And it's always been in trouble and always danger. So, looking at Israel today, we have to see her in the book of Ezekiel especially as being partially restored, not completely yet, restored nationally as a nation, and evidently the two sticks have been brought together and the nation is coming together as one nation again. They're not called the tribe of the nation of Judah or Israel now. They're just one nation. Actually, one nation called Israel. The two tribes of Benjamin and Judah were called Jews. That's the first time people were called Jews in the Bible. But the whole 12 tribes is the tribe of Israel, Jacob, Israel, and his 12 sons. And they seem that this seems to have been at least partly fulfilled and will and is being fulfilled, but the spiritual birth has not taken place yet. But it will take place. The Lord will put His Spirit in those people. He will give them a new heart and a new spirit. He will be their God, and they shall be His people. Just as surely as the Word of God is the Word of God, He will restore Israel to Himself and be their God and fulfill His covenants with His people, Israel. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy faithfulness to those disobedient, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. We thank Thee for Thy faithfulness and goodness to them. Thank Thee for the covenant that Thou hast made with them. And we thank Thee that that everlasting covenant that Thou hast made with them, that we've been brought into the good of that covenant. So we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us and Thy faithfulness to them and to us. And we thank Thee for Thy goodness in including us, as it were, as a people, for Thy namesake as well as Thy people Israel. We ask Thy blessing upon us to help us to grasp the signs of the time, knowing that when these things are being completed, then our redemption, as well as theirs, but our redemption draweth nigh, and we should look up, knowing that our Lord should come at any time. So we ask Thy blessing upon us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.